To the other's gang, two sisters, both curious and strange. A likely duo and they witty from the brain. It's the magic hour, Mercedes and Jay.
This is part two. If you missed part one of this episode, you can find it in our podcast library now. If you're all caught up, welcome back.
This idea of manifestation and using the universal laws to create what we want in our life can sometimes be really looked at like a religion, like we've been talking about here today. Because I think there can be an idea around it, like it's almost a plight for gaining control over this chaotic, you know, uncontrollable existence that we're here experiencing. Is there any words you can say about someone who's looking at this idea about manifestation and thinking like, oh, that's bullshit. Like thinking we can manifest our lives seems like just a way we're trying to be in control of something that's chaos. I don't know if you have any words to that, but I just think it's an interesting concept because I understand when you come up on a new theory, you know, and someone gives you these things that sound like almost promises, you want to make sure, you know, yes. You check both sides of this.
Yes, and I get what you're saying. So here's the thing, we're manifesting in every moment and every day. We're creators, we have a creator that we are connected to. We cannot not create. Just like we cannot not think a thought. Try to not think a thought. You're thinking a thought. You're thinking a thought of not, you know. don't think of a red car.
Red car.
What are you thinking of, right? It's like we cannot not create. We cannot not think. We cannot not feel. And that is creative. That is manifestation, like we talked about. So we're manifesting a physical state, an emotional state by where we're choosing to put our focus and what we talk about and what we, you know, what we feel. We are manifestors. So someone that doesn't want to buy into manifesting, okay, well, good luck with that because we're manifestors, we're creators, right? And the idea about controlling, the only thing that we can control is ourselves. Mm. We can control ultimately two things, the energy that we let in, that we receive, or the energy that we give out. And the energy received can come from this physical plane or it can come from a hand. I'll tell you something, this happened to me a couple weeks ago. It was a really great illustration of this. Driving to go to get my nails done, and in front of the nail salon, there's different spots, and in order to get, you know, into the spot, there was a woman kind of pulling out, waiting for this woman to leave and move out. So the spots to get in were blocked. And this woman kind of looks at me and I'm like, I'm going to go there. And she starts freaking out at me. I'm waiting for her. And starts like just, and I was like, whoa, I felt energetically as if someone took a taser at me and was like, you know, and I had to sit in my car and I'm like, okay, wait, this woman is clearly upset about something. She's in a different energy field. I can allow this to penetrate me and be influenced by that and be in my head going, it's her problem. And I can go into that realm and in that energy, or I could just take a moment and connect with pure positive energy. So I did. And I connected with myself. I connected with the energy. I let joy flow in. Was going to get my nails done. I'm getting, you know, my handed little soaky thing. And I had that woman again in my head. And it was like, I was thinking about it again and got bombarded. And I went, like, let it all go, cut the cords, detach from that. It's all energy work. Allowed myself to feel the connection with my divine self. And then by the second time of doing that, I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to allow myself to be under the influence by. I don't want to allow myself to be under the influence of this. I want to be an influence of this. We can control that decision by where we put our focus, by our free will choice. We can control what we say. We control what we think, what we feel. We can't control partners. We can't control what the government's doing. We can't control what our neighbors are doing, what mother-in-laws are doing, what our kids are doing. Only one that we can take responsibility for our own consciousness is ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, control. I think all of us, you know, struggle with navigating the chaos. You know, navigating the gray area of existentialism because it is all gray. And I think what I heard there when you were talking about how we can perceive the fact that everything we experience has its equal opposite. And maybe to tie in your piece on your whole study about quantum science being such a part of this manifestation process, the fact that there is dark matter and the fact that there is this, you know, even when something doesn't exist, it does exist, you know, there is dark matter. There is this whole part that actually takes up more space than the stuff that we do see. That is something we can technically label as an existing factor. So I don't know. There's so much, again, there's just so many levels to dig into that. So you guys read her book.
Well, you know, just note when you're wanting to control is a behavior that's coming from a place of fear. And whenever there's any type of fear, it's coming from a place of lack. Mm-hmm. You know, the Course in Miracles mm-hmm. talks that there's only mm-hmm. primary emotions, there's love and there's, but have you really stopped to think about where does the fear come from? It comes from the perception of lack. You're in lack, you always feel bad. When you're in abundance, you feel good. Yeah. And so that's why it's important to understand where in thoughts am I thinking lack? Where am I focused on lack? Because it's just a perspective. You yeah. can change it. Because mm-hmm. divine, there is no lack.
Yeah. I wanted to also get into vices with you. If someone has habits that contribute to feeling guilt and shame, what can they do to get rid of the vice and the shame?
Well, usually it's like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? Mm-hmm. You think about yourself and you want to escape yourself. And so you go and do something. So I don't care what the vice is. If we're talking about drinking coffee, too much sugar, smoking weed, doing other type of drugs, drinking, gambling, shopping, you know, whatever it is. We're not feeling good in the moment, so we get an idea of that will take us out of ourselves or take us out of the moment that we're in, and so then we do the thing. But whether it's a cup of coffee or a Snickers bar or whatever it is, it takes us away from that moment, but we always come back to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the cue is really it's our brain body having us reach for these vices to try to make us feel better in a way. It's like it's an anesthetic. And so we can just be with the shame and let the shame process out and be and let it process out of us and understand that thought emotions are not the same thing, but that they actually feed on each other. And that if you can isolate them and just feel like you have a shame tank, let the shame tank go, like let flush the shame tank out, forgive yourself for what you've done, bring in the higher energy of that your divine self really does feel for you, and then stop the feelings of shame and guilt, you know, change those thoughts, then you actually feel good. You're from your light body instead of your pain body, and you don't need the vices anyway. It's all becoming an energy master, and it's really being able to know what's pulling towards that vice and why you're wanting to escape.
So you also talk about emotions, and you might have mentioned it there when you brought up Course in Miracles, but what are the three habitual emotions that block us from creating what we want?
Fear is the big one, because fear is just, you know, it's again coming from lack, and a lot of people don't know how to process their fears. They do things to get out of their fear instead of feeling it. Huge one, because if we're, you know, if we have free will, and one of our powers as human beings is faith. In our faith opens up so many other paths. Faith connects us to a world that we don't understand when we're not in a place of fear instead of faith. We're in doubt instead of faith. We can't create what we want. And we're doubting what we desire to have. It can't come to us. So fear, doubt, and even worry, we've all heard, I think most of us have heard, that worry is a prayer for what you don't want. When you're worried, you're not focused on what you want. So fear, doubt, and worry are three of the biggest.
Worry is a prayer for what you don't want. I hadn't heard that before, actually.
Oh,
yeah. I like that. And is that related to the three questions that we would ask ourselves in order to pivot off of what we're frustrated, dissatisfied, or angered about?
So those three questions are great. I still use them to this day whenever I have contrast that comes up. Instead of noticing what you don't want, right? We're in that place of I don't want this, or you say you don't want something, or something's already manifested. You ask yourself, what do I want? Just this is the attention. What do I want? I want it. When you're listing out why you want something, now you start energizing. You're creating a whole different energetic vibration. It's really important. And then once you're getting to it, you'll understand how you do want to feel. What's the true essence and the bottom line feeling? And then just allow yourself to take a moment to feel that joy or abundance or success or opulence or whatever is the feeling that you're wanting. And then as you're giving off that as a vibration, as that picture in your head, you know, the light is always there. We're the projector. A different picture gets projected onto the screen of our lives.
Wow. Yeah. We have.
So wait, sorry, just to clarify, the third question was,
what do I want to feel? So what do I want?
Okay.
Want it? How do I feel? And then feel it.
What, why, how? Okay.
What, why, how? Okay.
Like it.
We have two Magic Mob questions. Timothy asks, everyone wants to experience less stress. What is your number one process to dramatically reduce stress?
Meditation. You can connect with your divine self, even get into a place where it's the mantra in a meditation. And you don't have to meditate for hours. I mean, you can take 10, 15 minutes. If you're feeling stress, just taking some nice deep breaths in, like breathing in four times, holding it, breathing out four seconds out and then holding it, just coming back to your breath in the now moment, that's a meditation. That's a breath work. Doing something like that can help you come back to the moment and release the stress.
Yeah. I agree with that. And it takes a lot of discipline, but once you reap the benefits, then you know, you realize it needs to be non-negotiable. Patricia also asks, you say that emotional, mental, and physical pain is all due to energy. Please explain.
Love that. So energy is naturally wanting to flow. It's wanting to flow through us and out of us. And anytime we have thoughts, we have imprints, we have, even a stomach ache, shoulder ache, it's stuck energy body. Our energy wants to flow somewhere. Energy can't be stopped. It can't be obstructed, or it wants to move. And so it needs to move. And when it doesn't, it creates almost like vortex in the body and it starts to create havoc. And so when someone say, for example, I've had people that have the council that have had migraines their entire life, and there's a lot of activity going on in the head and they haven't released energy, and that's what creates the migraines. When they start to release the energy and bring in a different flow of energy, the migraine headaches go. I've had a woman that was 54 years old that was supposed to have full hip replacement. We did energy work to release all that was, you know, the emotions that she was holding in her hips. Went and saw her doctor the next week, and the doctor said, well, you're no longer a candidate for this hip replacement surgery. And she hasn't been a years later. So there's more and more evidence now and more studies from top schools and hospitals that, you know, even that anger creates cancer, and that holding onto anger, you know, holding onto a certain level of energy or not expressing or negative thoughts creates so much stress in the body and then creates the breakdown of different diseases. When you think about fibromyalgia, for example, the medical community has no idea what it is. But I've worked with women who have fibromyalgia because they're sad and they don't know how to process their energy. When they're to process their energy, they don't have any pain anymore.
And of course, diet goes into a lot of stuff. But you look at, like, you know, the elderly that get memory loss, a lot of them, they had a really high stress life. So, what are the five steps to mastering our energy?
So number one is having enough present moment awareness of knowing your energy. What are you thinking? right? Being present with yourself, slowing down to feel yourself. Mm. Number two is being able to figure out, am I thinking thoughts that are negative or thoughts that are positive? Checking in with my thoughts. Am I feeling good or feeling bad? It's being able to shift and change those, right? Mm. It's number three is looking where do I have split on energy on any given subject? So am I feeling good here, but yet have emotions? And being able to create a integrity energy for any given subject. It's managing all of that. Mm. And then it's releasing it, number four, and then bringing in the energy that you do want to express. So bringing in the feeling of joy or abundance or whatever it is that you want.
Okay.
So.
And is it a good time to go get the counsel?
Bring in the council.
Yes, let me go get them.
I know. I feel like I want a drum. I
know. Or trumpets.
Yeah.
Trumpets. I like trumpets.
We are here.
Okay, great. So I think it would be cool for both of us to figure out, you know, what energy we're putting out there, like we talked about in the beginning. And then I also have a personal question. I don't know if what's easiest for you. Do you want to maybe take turns on telling us what you see that we are putting out?
Sure, dear one. And it would be easier for us to get to each one of you in our field so that we can pay. We see all as energy, not just physical human beings. We have different eyes that we see through. It's not just the physical. Mm-hmm. But we will start with Jade.
Okay.
So Jade, a beautiful energy, beautiful positive energy of a beautiful heart. There are places where you have imprinted, where you hold yourself back from being really who you are meant to be. You have such bright light, and we see your physical beauty has caused many times in your earlier young life. We see a little younger you that had a lot of little girls that were jealous of you. And so you learned at a very young age to light. This does not serve you, even though you give yourself permission to express your light. There is different octaves of light that you, of all people, can be transmitting out so that you are truly living from your authentic self. And we are happy to point these out to you. This is what we do with people in sessions, so we will just let you know. It is more of a heart closing and a guardedness. Do you know what we are talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So as you are... It is normal to protect, as we say to some people, if you are at a soccer game and a soccer ball is about to come to you, it's a feeling of brace, and then the soccer ball is no longer there, hands stay up. And this is what it looks like from our perspective. It's like you're wanting trust, but you still got your hands up. And so it is that feeling of really being able to open up your heart and process out that energy, if you will, to know that really how you are protected and how you do live life fully, live it with an open heart and be able to process the emotions and understand cutting cords to other things of your past, understanding that little girls or some adolescent girls even were jealous of you, and where you had to shrink. It was not about you. There's a friend, Christie's, that you might know. She's pretty known in this community. Lisa says, if you don't like my, if my light is shining too bright, I'm going to give you glasses because I'm not going to dim my light.
Mm.
And this is young girls, especially that very connected and also have a lot of talent and skill and physical beauty that other little girls or adolescent or women even are jealous. you tend to just out of protection close yourself down. It is time to just let yourself up. And when you're in your heart and you're shining this light, we call your heart the transmutation station, because as you are open-hearted, and we see you open a little more, as you are open-hearted and somebody up, their energy comes at you, the energy of love transmutes everything. Mm. And it doesn't mean that you won't find disappointment or that you won't be hurt in any way, but then you just be able to process the energy of the hurt. And if you need to cry for a few minutes, go do so. Process that out, but then allow yourself to come back to your connection to your heart life. This is who you really are. And it you is you giving yourself permission to shine like a way you've never shone before.
Hmm. I see that applying to life, but I'm curious if that applies to romantic relationships, even though that's with a man and not a woman.
Everywhere, so dear.
With my current relationship, I feel very safe. Like I don't have to have my hands up. And I don't fear abandonment, and I feel like he meets my needs. He's a very conscious partner, but there's something in me, even though I'm not afraid of him leaving and I know I've never been loved this way, there's still something that makes me feel scared. Would that be coming from the same thing possibly? Because I've not been able to pinpoint it.
It is really uncovering where is the lack. As Christy was saying, if there's a fear there, there's a lack. And so is it something that you are afraid of because you are feeling you lack or that you're lacking with him, or that you're afraid that you have it now? If you really, really enjoy it and really let yourself just go in the moment and be fully present with all of it, that it will leave. So that is something for you to really discover in a different time. We can dig in for you if you would like, but it is really for you to uncover where is that the fear being coming in root from, a sense of lack.
Mm.
Does that resonate with you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
On a podcast like this, we don't want too personal for you.
Mm.
we do a lot of personal stuff on this podcast, so don't be afraid to dive too deep. All right. Mercedes. So on my end of things, maybe to go into the same question that Jade was asking there about our vibration and the projection or the projected energy we're putting out there, maybe if you can read into mine a bit, and I also have a personal question or two if we have the time.
Dear, it is different for you, interesting enough. You've had similar experiences, but you process it in different ways. It is more of a, you very much look feminine, you're a very, very attractive woman, and yet you do have a very strong warrior to you. And I would like to see you start to develop more of your goddess energy, really, and all of it. We will say this, whenever it comes to anybody having any blocks or wanting to be more full, truly, of who you really are, it is always a connection with your divinity, your own unique strand, your own unique expression of the divine breathing you. And as you start to open up, you're going to do some. Allow energy to flow down your head. Both of these, as we work on one, we work on all, and this is for your listeners too. As you bring in into your head, calming your thoughts, allowing that energy to move into your heart center, allowing your heart to open. There's a beautiful jewel in the center of your heart as you let your heart jewel shine, and you bring in energy down into seven layers of the power center, allowing you to really fully embody, allowing this energy, beautiful energy, to move through you. Ah, do you feel that, Miss Mercedes?
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a ongoing conversation for me. Like, I am coming up against the same advice, the same obstacle in softening or needing to soften. And it's almost to a point of getting annoying, you know, like, okay, well, I know that this is what I need to do. I know this is a path that I need to choose. And I'm, like I was speaking to Christy earlier about this crisis of identity, I guess I'm calling it today, where I feel pretty lost and I feel like I'm having a hard time establishing who I am. And so maybe is there, to build off of what you've already given me here, is there a way for me to come out of this, I want to call it like a chrysalis phase, you know, of the butterfly, with more grace and ease?
Absolutely. We see this for you. It is really about you, which is how we could say to you, really trusting more of the energy part of you. It is really allowing yourself to, you said the word, be soft. And not only for you, but many of your listeners, being soft means letting your underbelly show and be vulnerable. And that's scary. Mm-hmm. And so there, like we were talking with Jade, there's a fear there. Fears are come in very different shapes, sizes, and colors. And your fear is more of a guarded, once again, vulnerable, but in a different aspect. Because you, dear one, have always succeeded because of warrior. And that warrior strength that gets you so far, but there's a time when a warrior doesn't need to fight. Mm-hmm. And there's a warrior god in you that is far powerful. There is a goddess rising in you, Dean, that is far more creative and powerful than you've ever known yourself to be. And as you just stop resisting, allow yourself to feel the flow of her that is inside of you, whether you call it your divinity or whether you call it your goddess or energy, she is wanting to, through that energy, she is wanting to create with you. And yes, yes, yes. You will find your identity. It is a special time in your life now. All of you humans go through different phases of life. You're on the same as your 30s, and your 30s are not the same as your 40s, and beyond and beyond and beyond. And it's just a maturity, a spiritual maturity that is happening. It is a, like you said, a thing. And with your awareness, not on the frustration of how to, but putting yourself in alignment with your goddess is reaching for you, that is wanting to be with you, that wants to serve you. When you just allow yourself to be in that space, you will allow yourself to be who you are becoming instead of resisting. Mm,
thank you for that. I also wanted to ask if in my relationship with my husband, is there something I can ask of him in our partnership to support me or assist me in this transition?
Dear one, we will tell you something very wonderful about a man, especially an aware one like you have. The more you step into your feminine goddess nature, the more he can step into his warrior. And there is nothing more sexy for a man that a woman is connected to her feminine creative energy. Hmm. So as it is not about what your husband needs to do or what you can tell your husband. It is really about you owning and feeling the divine goddess in you and embracing her. And he will notice. We have women that come to us in a small goddess weekend. We're having one with Christy in May. And when the women all go home to their men, the men don't know what to make of it because they are shining, they are more creative, and they're sexier to their men because they've released a lot of their masculine ways, the man can rise up and be the masculine which they want to be. But if the woman is doing the warrior masculine, the men have to do the yang of that. So it gives them permission to rise up, and they love that. It's very attractive to a man that wants him to be not just look feminine, but have energy of femininity, of divinity.
Thank you for that. How do we on this podcast navigate the way that people seem to see us? We're seen in a certain light because of our careers as models, and you know, so often, of course, we're not taken seriously because of that. But our goal here is to serve, and I think we are doing that to a degree. But is there a better way we can act as the bridge we want to be?
Something seems stifling. Yeah.
So we will tell you, you identify yourselves as models. It's very similar to what we're saying, Jade, right? As have declared yourself a model, there is experiences that you've had, and there is a collective consciousness about how people see models. And so part of you that have kind of gulped that in and allowed that to be, as you choose to be, Ashley Graham comes to us in our heads, right? She is a different type of model. And as she has owned that, the society, we don't, but most people have accepted her. It is both of you owning that you are here to serve. You are here to, on a purposeful way, not just be another pretty face. As Chris says, I'm not just a hat rack. You really are, yes, exquisitely beautiful, and you have that outer appearance, which is fantastic, but you also have so much inner wisdom. And as both of you connect more with your divine self and connect more with that divine strength and power and love and wisdom, and you claim for yourself who you are, not what others claim that you are. You say, this is who I am, like we were saying with it, when you claim, allow yourself to open up that, and this is really who I am. I'm not being defined by anybody else anymore. This is who I am. This is what I've come to do. Then others, because everything is affection, as you cower that can't be a certain way because people see me somewhere, that will be your reality. But as you go busting out and you say, this is who I am, and what I'm made of, and this is the heart light that I am going to shine, and this is the goddessness that I'm going to be, and the divine that I am going to be, because I am important, I am significant, I am loved, and I am adored, not because just the way I look, but because of what I have to say in that brain, and I have the divine flowing through me. When you own that, then everyone else will conform.
Are you able to speak? Are you all able to speak to my worthiness wound, and maybe how I can better heal that?
You are not. Many people feel that it comes variations. But the biggest wound that we see with more people is of a variation of deserving or worthy or enough or important. And it is a very big wound. And the wound comes from not understanding that you are divinely connected. It is being imprinted. Because when you came in as a soul to take this baby body, the baby in you knew it was worthy. It knew that it was deserving. It knew that it was a significant part of the whole. And because you are breathing and you have your divine beating your heart, this is so. There's nothing you have to prove, accomplish, to be loved, infinitely loved. And the more that you allow yourself to be infinitely loved just because you are, not because of what you do or what your looks are or what you accomplish or how much you weigh or any things you get or any of that other thing, because you are infinitely loved. That's a hole that most human beings have. And the hole. You were asking of vices, dear. There's no vice that could fill that hole. You cannot buy enough pairs of shoes or purses to fill that hole. You cannot have your boyfriend or husband compliment you enough to fill that hole. That hole can only be filled by the divine. Feeling on a daily basis, repeating to yourself, I infinitely love, and feeling that truth. I am deserving. I am worthy. What are you worthy of? Really, what all of you are wanting is you want to be worthy of love.
Mm-hmm.
And you are. You cannot be worthy, but you have to decide that you are. You cannot ever live beyond your self-perception. And when you say to yourself at some point in your life, and we could help you look at a deep level some other time, but whenever you have decided a decision, I'm not worthy, whether it was conscious or not, you live from that experience. But it was you that decided inside of yourself whether you were worthy or not. So today you push the reset button and you say, I am worthy. I am worthy. I am deserving. I am important. I am significant. And I will not entertain, it's like a line you draw on the sand, I will not entertain anything else that tells me I am not.
Mm.
And only let yourself feel that divine love that is especially you because it is breathing you, it is beating your heart. Every time you take a breath, that is love, and that is because you are worthy.
Mm.
Good for now, Dan?
Yes.
You are infinitely be well, and thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good?
Yes. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for doing that. For us, with us.
You're welcome. They're pretty spectacular, aren't they?
Yeah. Really powerful stuff. And all stuff, you know, the best thing about this podcast is that when we get to talk to people like you and have readings like we just did with the council, we get to listen to it back until we really feel, you know, we understand what's happening there.
And, yeah.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So we have a few short questions we like to ask everyone who comes on the show. So first off, if you could hug your younger self right now, what would you say?
That she's loved.
She's loved.
She's loved, yeah.
How old was she?
Oh, I have many variations, but about four.
Yeah, the first loved. One is four. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you could have the whole world read one book, which would it be?
I would say Ask and It Is Given from Abraham Hicks.
Okay.
Ask and It Is Given.
Yeah. Ask and It Is Given. Yeah. That book is that's a great book. My books are great too, but Ask and It Is Given is kind of like my Bible, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. We'll of course send people to pick up your book as well, but it's always good to know what's your inspiration, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so if you could whisper one phrase to everyone on the planet, what would it be?
That's a good question. They're telling me. You are infinite. They're like, tell them.
Yeah.
You are infinitely loved.
You are infinitely loved.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, where can people find you so that they can connect with you and maybe have a personal session?
And where can they pick up your books?
Yes.
Awesome. So my books are all over Amazon and in bookstores. So you can go anywhere if you go to Amazon, you'll see a plethora of different choices. I even have an ebook of 7 Essential Laws on Amazon. Watch Your Words is a great place to start because it really does provide a ton of value and helps you shift like immediately. Mm-hmm. I have my website, christywhitman.com. If you want to, there's a place for, if you want to set up sessions with the council, That's my pretty much my hub for everything I do. So ChristyWhitman.com, or how you spell it, you'll get there. And I have my Facebook, Christy Whitman International, where I do a lot of Facebook Lives. And like last night, I did a Facebook Live with the council doing a healing. And so I'm there and recording of, at least listen to the recording of this healing that they did last night.
Beautiful.
So, thank you for the invitation.
Thank you so much. And I just wanted to, you know, say to who's listening that no matter what level you're at, whether you're new about universal laws, all the things, all the other things we talked about with you today, Christy, I think anyone can pick up your new book and use it to elevate themselves. And we just really appreciate the work you're doing, the vulnerability you're having with, especially this new, you know, realm of work you're stepping into, or you've already stepped fully into with the channeling. And bringing that light to the world, because it's so necessary and it's such a great opening for all of us to get to experience. So thank you for being a light.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the work you're doing as well. So thank you for having me on your show and for what we both are doing.
Thanks, Christy. Yes. Oh man, that was really interesting. I had an interesting journey there because at first I had a lot of resistance. You did?
I forgot to tell her she is a hummingbird, but
Oh, shoot.
That's okay. She might already know. But yeah, go on about the resistance.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say that I noticed what came up in me at first was like a lot of resistance, like
at first in the channeling or
yeah,
to the message?
Channeling. Okay. Channeling. And not to the mess. Well, to both, I guess, but in different, totally different ways. The channeling, the accent kind of like, you know, threw me and made, I don't know. I had all these stories going on in my head that I had to calm, to really like allow what she was saying to settle in. But she was definitely feeling like I could see, you know, people listening probably couldn't see her, but I could, while I was feeling the most in tuned with the message, or while I was like feeling shifts in my body happening, my physical body happening, she was mirroring them with what she was doing with her hands or what she was doing with her body language. Mm-hmm. And so I could tell she was like very much in tuned with whatever was going on in me internally. Yeah. So that was really powerful.
The accent didn't throw me off at all. as soon as she started speaking, got chills through my whole body. And that typically, if it's on both sides, like typically if it's on the left or right, it means something different. But for me, when my whole body goes cold, but I'm sweating, that happens a lot with Paul Selig. Then I know, like, as Paul Selig says, we're in the upper room. Like we are getting a divine message. But what's interesting is when she said about younger kids getting jealous and dimming the light, there were like, I would have never, when she said that, like I would have, if someone said like, oh, were kids jealous of you when you were younger? I'd be like, no, I was the poor kid at school. Like I was the new girl. Like I was never the popular one. So I would have never thought of that as an answer for why I may feel like I need to protect myself. But when she said it, my mind went through this like tunnel of memories that I really, it's not that I didn't remember them before. I just never gave them any thought, but it was like a tunnel of memories of all these bullying experiences from other girls. Mm-hmm. And like in front of, you know, the whole cafeteria or in front of the whole classroom. And so it's interesting how a lot of times we're trying to think like, why do I react this way? Why do I feel this way? And a lot of times it's something that we would have never even thought of.
Yeah. And it's the perception too, because your perception might not have been the reality. And maybe she's speaking to what the reality was for
those girls.
Well,
and the thing was, is I didn't feel pretty as a kid. So when the girls were mean to me,
thought it was for other reasons.
Yeah. And they made sure it was a public display of bullying. I just believed the message. I never once thought, oh, well, it's because they think I'm pretty and they feel insecure, because they don't even know that they're feeling that. They're kids. Mm-hmm. They don't know why they're being this way.
Yeah.
So I would have never attributed the bullying to me being a pretty kid, because I never thought I was pretty as a kid.
Well, you know, and they're trying to knock you down because they want to publicly display like somehow they're better than you, which would mean that you must hold some clout in their mind, right? Their perspective is, I have to knock this person down in order to feel powerful. So that points to the fact that you held some power in their mind. whether, you know, whatever the whatever they were jealous of, whether it's being pretty or whatever, you know, other kids bullied.
It's interesting though that I did start saying be a light in high school, and that kind of went with her message of
your brightness to shine.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it was almost like in high school though, maybe I was maybe going through a place where I was coming back to that or something, you know, to where that became my little mantra.
Yeah, that's what got you to get out of that. But she's saying you need to break all the way through and be free your light completely.
Yeah, it's just interesting that sometimes we can get a message that makes so much sense, but we would have never
come about
found that as the root. Yeah, and without that is someone why, else's insight.
Yeah, and that's why I think whatever type of therapies you want to go after, I think are valuable, because if you allow them to be someone else's, you know, insight, and of course you want it to come from a healthy professional who's not projecting or judging you, but their insight is going to come partly from their conditioning and domestications, but it will give you a perspective that might help you break through on something that you've really been working on in a tough way. And I don't want to make this whole show about, you know, us every time people tune in, but obviously.
No, but the thing is both of our questions, I'm sure a ton of our listeners hearing the answers, if it applied to them, because we're not the only ones that feel this way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it may not be bullying from little girls, but, but like the worthiness and the, all of us have a goddess that's trying to emerge. So even though the questions may not have applied to you, if you're listening, maybe try to apply the answer because it's true for everyone.
Yeah.
And on that note,
what's your magic today?
So mine is pretty simple. It's just a gratitude practice and it's not a daily thing. I just want you to do it today. Write down one thing you're grateful for about your past self, one thing you're grateful for about your present self, and one thing you're grateful for about your future self. And then just put it where you can see it for the next week or so. That's it.
I like it.
Just a little self-love practice.
Yeah. All right. My magic today is to envision your 80th birthday. This practice is basically to help us get clear on what we want our lives to look like. And obviously this episode with Christy was largely about manifesting what we want our lives to, what we've always envisioned our best lives being. So in order to do that, I think a major step is getting extremely clear on our goals, getting extremely clear on what our best self would look like so that we can then know the steps necessary for reaching them. So what you want to do is you want to envision the ideal setting for your 80th birthday. And it can be further out. If you're already 80, you can push it out. But, you know, we're talking to our group of listeners, which is probably maybe not a lot of 80-year-olds, except for my dad's coming up on it. So hi, Dad. but no, if you can envision setting your 80th birthday, so get really clear on it. Who's there with you? If those people are maybe going to stand up and say something about you, what would you want them to say about your character? You know, maybe these people are people you've known your entire life or for the better part of your life. And they would stand up and say something about you there. What would those things be? I mean, this is really specific, guys. You need to get as specific as possible. What would you want your life to stand for by that time? You know, what would your legacy look like by your 80th birthday? And how would you spend your day? You know, would it be with families around a table laughing and eating? Or maybe you guys are going out and surfing together or playing in the ocean. Maybe you live at a house that's on the side of a cliff and it's got beautiful bay windows, you know, that open up to the ocean and you feel the ocean breeze and all your family gets to laugh and play in the sunshine after you guys have cake. I don't know, whatever it is, but get really clear on what that looks like for you. And in doing that, like I said, I think we just, it helps us take one little step towards manifesting that into our eventual reality. So that is my invitation.
Yeah, I love that. Me and my partner wrote down like what we would want our eulogy to be. but I want to, this just reminded me, I want us to write one that we would like the other one to be able to say. Mm. You know, like how do I want to live in a way that my partner would be able to write this and have, I feel like I'm not saying this right. So I want to write a eulogy from his perspective.
I got it.
And then him write one from my perspective, okay, as if I'm giving it at his funeral. So right, that he, mm-hmm, and because it kind of gives you like, well, am I being this person? Am I being that type of partner? You know, so that's something that I want to do, but that's really cool.
Yeah. I like that idea too. Yeah. Anytime right, we can contemplate us being closer to our eventual mm-hmm demise, I think gives us a lot of yeah really good, important perspective.
Mm-hmm. All right, Magic Mobbers, thank you so much for tuning in and taking this journey with us. If this episode held some magic for you, please share it with your friends and family. This would mean so much to us. And don't forget to join us on our Instagram page at The Magic Hour and let us know what your favorite episodes have been so far. We appreciate all of your feedback and want to know what's lighting you up.
Yes, and we release a new episode every Monday, so you can catch us again next week or go listen to some of our past episodes in our podcast library now. We'll meet you there. Until then, be a light.
It's like we're taking turns.
Why are we getting so bad at this? A one, a one, a one, two, three. Be a light. We'll get there, guys. We'll get there. This is only episode number 554. I don't even know what number we're on. We're right on schedule.
That's funny.
Love you guys. Quick disclaimer. We are not medical professionals, so following any of our protocols or advice should be done at your own risk, people. And please remember to always, always do your own research. Tap into that extraordinary growth mindset we all have access to within ourselves and seek out your own answers. Come on, guys, you know the deal. And by the way, if you are a medical professional or an expert in any topic we cover and you feel we are not giving accurate information about it, please find somewhere to contact us. Contact us via social or email us at our website and let us know. A major goal of ours in doing this podcast is to bring value to people's lives by sharing helpful insights and info. So we welcome being corrected at any time, and we'll be happy to share any of our fuck-ups with our listeners so as to get us all back on track to discovering our happiest, healthiest selves.